This is Donnie Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Todd Miller of Rave Mobile Safety. Todd, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Oh, Donnie, it's great to be with you again, as always.
So Todd, we know the work that Rave does with 911 and Smart 911, but I know this weekend is the weekend for the launch of 988. Can you tell people what that's about?
Yeah, I think this is a big deal. This is a real big deal. And in some ways, nothing's changed. So what do I mean by that? Well, this weekend, we will start to be able to dial 988 from any mobile phone across the country and be able to reach the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. So that's the new part, that we haven't been able to do that in this country. So we've got a new three-digit number for suicide and crisis assistance. But what's the same is we've had a national suicide hotline for a number of years. And so in many ways, we won't see immediate changes, but I think this is the beginning of some really great things for public safety, especially as we focus on collaboration and breaking down these unnatural silos that exist between 911, 988, first responder agencies. So we're excited from a public safety, public health, and mental health standpoint. We think that this is it's going to have its own challenges and opportunities over the next several years, but we think that this is really fantastic for public safety and our communities overall.
Okay, so when someone dials 988, are they going to get the national crisis hotline then, and then if something is needed, frankly, how can people coordinate between 988 and 911 and the rest of public safety?
Yeah, you bring up some really excellent points. I think a couple things to keep in mind today. Even before the national number goes live, from your landline, you could dial 988 and you're going to reach those services. And those can be directed based on your location. So I'm here in Massachusetts, and from my landline, I can be directed to my Massachusetts call center. But on mobile phones, the calls, at least initially here on the 988 side, are going to be routed differently than they're routed on the 911 side. So for those that know about 911, you know it's all about location, right? We can't help you unless we know where you are. So location of that 911 caller is critically important. So that's how we route calls to go to the closest 911 center, the closest PSAP. But in the case of 988, at least initially, calls from mobile phones are going to be routed by your area code. And so there could be some challenges there potentially. I could be out in California, and when I make a call, it's going to be routed back to Massachusetts. Now, that's not to say that call center can't help me. They likely can. But if there is a need to coordinate with local response teams, that's where it gets a little bit more challenging. And I think that's, again, an opportunity for us to help break down these unnatural silos and start to share information so that we can get those residents the help that they need just as quickly as possible.
Okay, and so first off, is it up to the 988 suicide hotline advisor that's on the phone with the person to make the decision, hey, we probably do need to have some help from public safety? You know, maybe it's, hey, to clear out an area to make sure that, you know, this person is isolated, especially if they're thinking about going off a bridge that might impact somebody else, or using a gun or something like that. Or is it a situation where there's something that automatically would trigger, hey, let's get people to the scene with special instructions of, hey, this person is being talked to, not time to break down doors and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you raise a really complex issue. You know, when is there a transition that's needed from a call came into 98, and now we really need to engage? What is that threshold? Now, at a national level, there's lots of great guidelines around this, and you know, this is not my subject matter expertise, so I won't speak for those guidelines specifically. But it's oftentimes around imminent threat. Is there an imminent threat to that individual or others? If there's not an imminent threat, and there's all sorts of, you know, questions that individuals are trained to ask to dig into it, but there's not an imminent threat, then we have time to talk to that individual and try and de-escalate the situation or help them find resources that they need. And that's oftentimes what they're looking for. They're looking for, you know, additional resources as a follow-up. But when there is an imminent threat, yeah, we need to know where that person is. We need to understand what type of threat it may be, and we need to be able to effectively exchange incident data across 911 and 988. And you know, you look at, you know, folks like California, for example. They're really thinking a lot about this. They're thinking about how to leverage their next gen 911 network, and I think, you know, some of their goals are let's bring these solutions together, or bring these issues together from a technology standpoint. We've learned a lot of great lessons on the 911 side over the years around the importance of call routing and the type of information that's available. And while there may be different needs on the 988 side, we can still take advantage of all those great lessons learned. And so I think what you'll see is as this evolves, you'll see more and more information sharing, appropriate information sharing, right? Policy-based information sharing. So no, you know, information is only shared when appropriate and at the level that's appropriate. But I think you'll start to see that, you know, across the country. And in fact, it reminds me that in some ways, we've got a little bit of a 50-state experiment going on with this. Each state is really determining their path on 988 themselves, and so there's a lot of common approaches. But you know, some states might have one or two 988 centers, and their engagement with local crisis response teams looks like X, where another state might have a dozen, and they might have different policies and procedures. So we're going to see a lot of really great, thoughtful approaches to, you know, bridging these gaps and improving our services over the next couple of years. I think it's important for us to all, you know, take those lessons learned and continue to evolve and improve.
Okay. Well, and what role could Rave Mobile Safety play in this? Because, you know, I think of what you guys do with your smart 911 product, where the person calls and all this very helpful, if someone calls 911, a lot of helpful information and background that can be useful to public safety is shared at the same time. You know, but I'm just wondering, can something like that be implemented on the 988 side? And frankly, I mean, wouldn't that be more relevant, because sometimes the person dialing 911 is not the person in trouble, whereas with a 988 call, you know, that's the person that is needing the help, and having that background, yeah, I think would be even more helpful in that circumstance.
You're absolutely right, Donnie. I think you'll see us play a really critical role here, because more and more folks are recognizing that this is a full ecosystem. We're all engaged here. And what I mean by that is it's, you know, it's 911, it's 988, it's the first responder agency, it's public health, it's emergency management. And all of these entities have very similar goals, right? We want to protect our residents. You know, we want to keep them free of harm. We want them to live a healthy lifestyle, right? We just want to make sure that, you know, we're providing the appropriate services, but yet we're oftentimes not sharing the information that allows that to happen in a seamless way. Why not allow someone to, you know, register for emergency notification? Oh, by the way, they're also able to opt in for additional services like sharing information with 911 or sharing information with 988. In fact, you know, in the mental health world, there's this concept of a mental health advanced directive, right? Individuals that have already done some pre-planning around mental health crisis for themselves or their family members. They've involved medical professionals and experts to help them put together a plan. That's the type of information that needs to be in the hands of 911 or 988, regardless of where the call comes in when someone's in crisis, so that we can more quickly determine what their needs are and get them the appropriate services.
Yeah, well, that's that absolutely seems like the case, and I'm very fascinated to see, you know, what goes forward. You know, in terms of how to make this coordination. Is there any timetable for these coordinations between 988 and 911? Or is it kind of like you said, 50 different experiments?
Well, it's ongoing. So you'll see 988 go live nationally here this weekend, the 16th. And each state, again, is going to be sort of evolving and reporting. They are looking at, you know, what are some common data points that we can collect and monitor over the 50-state rollout. But I think we're going to have a lot of great data that comes out of this. So this is a very positive thing overall for public safety, and I think it's a really unique opportunity for us to all collaborate much more.
And 988 goes live this weekend, right?
That's right.
Wow. Well, it's going to be fascinating to see, and I certainly hope it helps save people's lives and keep everyone as safe as possible. Todd, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Donnie, thank you again. Really appreciate it.
Have a great day.